Recently, Vidyard and Ascend 2 put together a study that found that the most challenging obstacles to video marketing success, that the number one component, 44% of marketers said, the lack of an effective strategy.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
You know, I'm Todd Hartley. I'm the CEO of Wirebuzz. We're a digital marketing agency that specializes in video. And my passion for video marketing really started in 2003. I was working in Hollywood, leading digital for 7 national talk shows. And I had access to massive audience analytics across the country, how people were responding to content. And what I noticed was video always got the best results. And I wanted to be the best digital marketer possible. And I knew if I wanted to be the best, I had to specialize in the best tools that got the best results. So I started focusing in on video. And for every online metric, search, email, social, sales conversion, traffic, even memory retention and comprehension, video always got the best results. But the trick is, if you want to achieve your goals with video, you have to not only create great, compelling video, but develop and execute highly targeted digital marketing campaigns. You just can't wing it. You may be able to do that for other aspects of marketing, but video is the most powerful tool on the internet. And with great power, Peter Parker, comes great responsibility. So with the right strategy in place, it's an absolute game changer for businesses, their sales and marketing teams. And because I believe that strategy is always the first step when developing videos, I wanted to introduce you to Marcus Krieg. Now, Marcus is the director of strategy here at Wirebuzz, a very brilliant young digital marketer. And Marcus is going to break this down for you and give you a really good idea on where strategy fits in. Marcus, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
It's pretty cool, Marcus. We start all of our projects for a reason with strategy. And most people, when they approach us, they say something like, well, I need a video. And they kind of look at it like one size fits all, right? Like that video is a Swiss Army knife and it's going to do everything that they need. You get that vibe?
It's extremely common. It's
so common that we see it all the time. And then for us, it's like, if you want your project to succeed, if you want to hit a home run, that project, that video has to have a very clearly defined goal, very smart call to actions, and it needs to be baked into it. So, Marcus, what do marketers often struggle with when they're planning their campaigns? What comes to mind when you hear that?
Well, the first thing, you know, that always comes to mind for me is strategy. As you mentioned, marketers are always trying to stuff everything inside one video when really, in reality, video is just a content format. It's like text or audio. The only difference is that it's a little bit more persuasive and emotional because you have the visual working with the auditory and the kinesthetic. You can read emotion in people's faces and body language. So video is still a content format, and that's the most important thing to recognize when you're developing your video strategy. You still have to practice all of the sound marketing fundamentals. That means having a buyer's journey, recognizing that most products people are not going to be ready to purchase after the very first encounter with your one video. So that means making sure that you're taking people from the awareness stage, I have a problem, to the consideration stage, your solution might be the right solution for me, and all the way through to the decision stage, which is your solution is the best solution for me. And making sure that you have all of the content pieces needed to lead people through that journey is critical. You, in some cases, rarely, one video can do that. One that comes to mind is Dollar Shave Club. Low cost offer, promises ROI over what you are already doing, so it's cheap. And it's a service that you find valuable. One video was persuasive enough for them to convince hundreds of thousands of people to switch. But in most cases, you're talking about a higher friction purchase. You know, you're not going to get someone to buy a car the first day. Most people are going to go and they're going to do their research online. They're going to go to multiple dealerships. They're going to shop around. And most buying cycles are complex in that way.
So video is just like other types of content, except it's turbocharged in its ability to generate results. And you need to have a very well detailed strategy before you get started in order to make sure that when you invest the resources and you get the expensive people out there, which is the video production crew, that what they end up creating actually generates ROI or whatever that goal is. I mean, that's pretty much what you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
Lay out those details before you get started and before you start spending big money.
Exactly. It's more critical that you have a strategy when you're producing videos because of how much expense and the fact that you it's not as easy to edit a video and change five words as it is to go back and update a blog post, as an example.
All right. Now, I've seen this time and again. By the way, for those of you listening, you should know that when clients approach us with a video that they've had created by, let's say, a production company that didn't do strategy, the first people that look at that video at our in our office that have to help a client maybe reverse engineer an expensive project and try to turn it into something that's strategic and successful is going to be Marcus and I. So Marcus and I see this all the time. And candidly, it like, you know, pains us or pains our heart to see that somebody got a video project that really didn't have any defined digital strategy. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's really important to think of video from a copywriting lens, which is it's you still need to earn people's attention every step of the way. Back when video just got started, people would watch a video because it was a video. It wasn't text. But these days, there's a much higher barrier to entry when it comes to quality, and you have to earn your viewer's attention. You use in the first 5 seconds, you earn the next 20 seconds. In those 20 seconds, you earn the first minute. And thinking about it in terms of maintaining people's attention, keeping the momentum moving, that's critical. And so when you're looking at these production houses or, you know, kids with cameras, freelancers, oftentimes what they don't have in their toolkit is that copywriting background, that ability to understand how you capture someone's attention, how you evoke emotion through the words that you use, through the, you know, the voiceover and the imagery. And then you take all of the creative aspects that come alongside video, which we're very lucky to have, you know, some great creative professionals in-house as well, is that you can take that language and you can make it even more effective with things like music and animation or stunning B-roll shots. But really, it's about making sure that you're able to maintain people's attention. That's really one of video's great superpowers, is that all of the motion causes you to pay attention. But you still have to practice sound marketing fundamentals. And that means making sure that you're maintaining people's attention span.
All right. So, you know, the other thing that video production houses don't have is the digital strategy built in that happens after that video comes out of post-production. So we call it the deployment stage here, but really that's the nuts and bolts on content marketing and how you move this to the next level. So what are the first steps, Marcus, when you take a, you know, when you take on developing a video strategy? Lay it out. What are the first steps?
First step is identifying the client's stated goal. Sometimes the client doesn't know what the right goal is. So, you know, in many cases, people are like, I want more sales. And you're like, well, you know, your product is pretty complex. You have a 6-month buying cycle. Saying you want to get more sales sounds good, but it doesn't mean anything from a strategy perspective.
Right. So you have to start breaking it down for them.
Exactly. So sometimes a client knows exactly what they want. Sometimes they don't. And if they don't, we always have to drill down with more questions. So one of the first questions I always ask is, what's working well for you now? What does the current sales cycle look like? Do people typically find you on an inbound basis and then you convert them to a lead with an ebook and then maybe your sales team follows up with them, or is your process completely different? So understanding what that full funnel looks like for them and which parts are working in their opinion is really important, because one of the things that we've found is that, and this is true for all types of marketing, not just video marketing, but if you can't be a turnkey solution for a client in terms of they don't have to do anything ever, then anytime you add a new tactic or initiative, you have to overcome the institutional like inertia against it. And, you know, people don't want to hire someone else to do, for example, SEO and start blogging for them. So why would we pitch them a strategy that includes video SEO? right? It doesn't make sense. So what we start with is where they're getting results now, what they're currently staffed to achieve, and then we find places where video can amplify those existing strategies.
Okay, really smart. Identify the client's stated goal first, what's working for them, and then understanding their full funnel.
Right. And then once we understand that big picture, the next step is identifying the gaps. So what are the questions that your sales team is hearing often? What are the objections people have to purchasing your product? That helps us fill in that decision stage of the buying cycle at the very end, close to the conversion. We also need to make sure that we are identifying the client's key differentiators. You know, why is your product different from and better than your competitors? This allows us to develop content in the consideration stage, which is in the very middle of the funnel. Making sure that that is extremely compelling is critical. If a client could only make one video, we would choose to make a video in the consideration stage, something that positions your product as the solution for them and captures that attention.
And they can use that video then for multiple purposes.
Right. So a typical consideration stage video would be like an explainer video. So it's something that you could use, for example, on your homepage. If it's designed correctly and you know you're going to be advertising, you could design it to be an advertisement. So for example, Dollar Shave Club's video was an explainer video, but it was made for YouTube advertising specifically as well. Knowing how you're going to deploy it up front is absolutely essential if you want to, you know, cook in all of the right optimizations.
Let me stop you for a second. You just used an interesting term that I don't think people have considered in video, but I think it works beautifully. What do you mean by cooked in?
Okay. So for example, on YouTube is at its basic level, it's a social entertainment site. It's a place where people go to learn the things that they're interested in, or to be entertained and amused by all of the, you know, cat videos and so on and so forth. So if you're trying to get a video to perform well on YouTube, it needs to have some sort of entertainment value. And Dollar Shave Club, you know, he didn't have to make it funny. He didn't have to swear. He didn't have to, you know, be edgy in order to communicate the value of his product. But recognizing that he was going to be advertising, that he was going to be paying to deploy that video, he wanted to make sure that people are going to pay attention, that they were going to consume the entire message. And that means you have to be a little bit more creative and cook in the entertainment.
So the recipe starts at the very beginning. It's not something that you can just hodgepodge and bolt in on the end.
Right. Absolutely. This is one of those things, and I'm sure you've seen it all the time. I know I have. An explainer video that says, visit our website,
right,
produced by a production house or a freelancer, because people don't realize, you know, when they're producing the video, this is living on our website.
You know, it absolutely drives me crazy that, well, look, I don't want to bash people. Okay. But it drives me crazy that there are production companies that don't understand digital marketing at all. And that they're using television sensibilities onto a digital platform and then blowing big budgets because they don't understand the digital space. Now, when I was talking about the first steps you take when deploying a video strategy, first one was identifying the client's stated goals, which is like, you know, what's working for you now and understanding their full funnel. The second one was identifying the gaps. And that includes something like, what are the questions and objections their team gets, understanding the key differentiators? What comes after that?
So once we have the consideration and the decision stage figured out, the next step is driving people into that funnel. And that's where the awareness stage comes in. So I have another question for that I always ask, which is, you know, what are the most painful problems that your audience is facing? Now, it doesn't have to be directly related to your product, to the solution you offer, but it can be, and ideally it is. So as an example, you know, we're video marketers. Most of our clients aren't coming to us because they're looking for video. They're coming to us because they have a sales or a marketing problem, and they now understand, they're in the consideration stage, that video is the right solution. But if they're saying, for example, I need to generate more leads from SEO, they're not thinking I need videos for SEO. They're thinking, how can I get better search results? So for us, awareness stage content would be, you know, how to improve your search results, that's our keyword, using video. And now we are introducing someone to a potential solution to a problem that they're already feeling. Now, that's an ideal situation. There are also situations where you're talking about something called latent pain, which is pain that you don't realize you even have yet. So an example of that would be when the iPod was released. Now, when the iPod was released, we already had Discman. You know, people had the portable CD players, but there were limitations to a CD player. I was a runner. So when I was in high school and the iPod came out, I wanted the iPod because I couldn't run with my Discman.
You could, but it would skip. And I just went through a box of old electronics and I found my wife's Discman and I put it off to the side and she brought it up like, no, I don't know if I'm ready to get rid of this. It's such an outdated piece of technology, but she was holding on to it. It's so funny. Go on.
So what Apple did, which I think is brilliant, is they had those dancing commercials, the silhouette dancing commercials with the bold colored backgrounds. And they were demonstrating that you could be active and listen to music at the same time. And that was their key differentiator. That was you realizing that your life sucks now and that there is a solution to make your life suck less. And so in their case, they were able to do it very simply, very subtly, very visually. Many products are not so clear cut. We have a client that they sell nasal inserts to help you breathe better through your nose. Most people don't realize that the inability to breathe through your nose is one of the root causes of snoring. So someone whose wife is thinking about leaving them because they snore, is not thinking, oh, I need nasal inserts. It's a latent pain. They don't realize that that pain exists yet. They know it hurts, but they don't know that there's a solution. And so you have to educate these people and say, hey, look, there's the reason that you're snoring is because your nasal cavity is clogged and or swollen, or you have allergies, or you have all of these things. But if you can breathe better, you will snore less, or you won't snore at all. You create information that's valuable that helps promise a solution to a problem. And if it includes your product, great, that's ideal. But sometimes it doesn't include your product and you need to be okay with that because at some point, you know, you have this audience of people and your whole mission is to serve their needs. And then when they need a solution like yours, you're the logical choice. So yes, ideally you always start with the topics that are going to dovetail directly into your product and your solution. But in many cases, you know, people who are producing tax software, for example, you know, it's hard to SEO tax software solutions. So instead, identify, okay, so who are we talking to? We're talking about people who do payroll. How do we communicate to people who do payroll in an interesting way? Well, we know that payroll managers have a very specific set of problems. It doesn't necessarily relate to our product, but we can address those problems in the awareness stage to build trust and credibility.
You could become their guru.
Exactly.
In fact, I often look at it like the whole helpful part of content marketing where you want to answer questions, be a problem solver, be a thought leader in that space is the solution to short tail phrases being, and like I'm talking search for those who are just tagging along with us. That's often a solution or a remedy to an area that's already too hard to be able to compete in viably for most companies. And that's your back door into generating traffic through organic search.
Right. And as a community guru, who else are they going to trust now? When they need it, when a payroll manager who is getting all sorts of payroll and employment advice from you as their guru actually needs a payroll solution or a tax solution, you're the only choice in their mind because you know who they are, you understand them, you get them, and they know you get them.
All right. So to summarize, identify the client's stated goal. That's number one. The second one is identifying the gaps. And the third one is the awareness stage, which is driving target customers into the funnel. What comes next?
The next thing is assessing the complexity of the product. So we always ask, you know, can you describe your product, be as detailed as you need to be, And then we always ask, you know, what would be your best salesperson's pitch? How would they pitch me your product? Usually you want the best salesperson because the best salesperson has specific ways of wording
things. They get it already.
Right.
Right. They've navigated the path.
They've optimized.
They've optimized.
Yeah. They've trial and error and they've optimized themselves. So that's a great place to start. So an example, so we go back to the nasal insert. You could explain the benefits of a nasal insert in one video because it's a relatively simple, you know, low number of features product. But an example like HubSpot or, you know, in software in many cases, you're talking about dozens of features, each of which have multiple benefits. You know, now you have all of this complexity and how do you communicate all of the value in one video? You can't. And so this is the part where we're determining, okay, so what do we need to put on your website to make it easier for people to make a buying decision? How can we give them all of the information they have to have so that if they don't ever communicate with a sales rep, they can be confident making a buying decision? So that means, you know, if you have a complex pricing structure, you should probably break that down in a video. Make it easy to understand. People hate charts. Also, charts are really, really bad at maintaining people's attention. But if you use animation, you can deliver the exact same information
as a chart.
And a
lot of this game in video marketing is optimizing the way you retain attention.
Absolutely. In fact, interesting aside, movies have gone from over 5 seconds per shot to under 2.5 seconds per shot because the constant scene changing, the constant motion of a camera causes our eyes to refocus over and over and over again. And even movie trailers, try actually seeing a shot in a movie trailer. You can't really see what's happening. You just get snippets. It's flash after flash after flash because that constant change maintains our attention. It's like the difference between watching an animated video and watching a webinar. Webinars have that static screen and eventually you're getting up and going and grabbing a cup of coffee because it didn't maintain your attention. But if there was more slides or more motion and you were retaining people's attention every 3 to 5 seconds, you wouldn't have the same problem. And so, you know, thinking about how you can maintain people's attention that's the biggest part, because you have a message, and if you're a viable business, you have a good message. The difficulty is getting people to pay attention to it. And once you get people's attention, you need to keep it, because getting people's attention is expensive. You know, whether you're advertising or you're expending marketing resources on social media or whatever that may be, it's expensive to put your content in front of someone. And so once it's there, it's extremely important that you maintain their attention and you actually deliver that full message.
So how do you determine, Marcus, what types of videos a client should make to achieve their stated goals? How does that happen?
That is a really big question. So it really depends a lot on the specific situation and the client, but at some sort of generic level, let's say, for example, someone is trying to become a thought leader or build a community or an audience of some kind. If that's the case and they're planning to regularly produce video content, YouTube is a great platform. Creating YouTube videos designed specifically for YouTube is an amazing way to achieve those stated objectives. If you have content writers already on staff who are educating and building community through a blog, then you could use something like a Wistia video with a turnstile, which allows you to capture someone's email in exchange for watching the video. And you can use your existing blog content and amplify it using a video to generate leads. So that would depend a little bit. If your stated goal is increasing conversions on your website, then you could be talking about things like product comparison videos, explainer videos, feature videos, so videos that go in depth into specific features of your product and how that benefits you, the end user. If your goal is to facilitate the sales process, so your salespeople are out meeting with people either you know, out in the world as an outside sales rep, or, you know, whether it's over the phone and they're sending emails as follow-ups, you know, what are the questions that they're getting, and then creating that type of content. So in terms of format, so, you know, we were just talking about what type of video in terms of the, what kind of content you're delivering. But when we're talking about the format, so things like talking heads, so someone's on camera being, whether they're interviewed or they're presenting, or animation, or talking head with B-roll, or those types of things. Okay, so now we're talking about different types of video styles. It's dependent on the type of message you're delivering. What is going to communicate the most effectively? So say, for example, you're trying to build thought leadership. It makes a lot of sense if you're trying to become a thought leader to be on camera, because you want people to develop affinity with you, the thought leader. You want people to emote with you. You want people to be synchronous with you. If you are trying to teach something that's complex, you talking on camera is probably not the best format. You might want to use something like animation so that you can use symbology, and you can use motion and the interactions of more simple symbols in order to communicate a more complex idea. So it's really deciding, okay, so what's the goal of this specific piece of content? Where is it going to live? And then what kind of style of video is going to communicate that message most effectively so that people remember it?
Okay, so typically when we meet a new client and they have video marketing needs, Marcus sits down with them, with our team, and we go through a series of these discoveries, and then come back with a recommendation saying, here's best practices and here's the right types of videos to use at different stages in the process, or to create different desired goals,
right?
And so that's our first step that we take here at Wirebuzz. And it's important because it allows us to have a really strong understanding and then position the client for success. A huge part of having the right video strategy is selecting the right topics. So we created a topic selection worksheet, and it's free only to the listeners of this podcast, and you can access it at wirebuzz.com/topics. That's wirebuzz.com/topics. So you mentioned a moment ago YouTube, and you also teased Wistia. So let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. Maybe one of the most developing topics inside of video marketing strategy is what type of video player should you use, YouTube or others, and when. Walk me through that that thought process, the logical discovery, and ultimate conclusions, and how you make it.
Yeah, it's really common for people to default to one of two platforms, and it makes sense because these are the free ones, which are YouTube and Vimeo. And the reason people use Vimeo is because the video player looks a little bit nicer than the YouTube player, although YouTube has recently updated its UX and it looks a little bit nicer, but probably still not at the level Vimeo's at. And so people use one of those two platforms as a default. And there's a real, you know, pretty big problem with that. So with YouTube, we're really talking about a social network. It's a place where you build audience, where you build community. If you're not producing content regularly, you're not going to get the most out of YouTube. The perceived quality of a video that's on YouTube is actually much lower than the perceived quality of a video in a third-party player. So thinking in terms of just taking a YouTube video and putting that on your website, probably not the best approach. Sure, the hosting is free, but it's also slowing down your page. Like, there are lots of things at play when you start using YouTube.
And if you put YouTube on your own website and that video ends, YouTube's going to make recommendations, which could be your competitor's videos.
Absolutely.
Right? So you would never want that in your own office. You would never want another thought leader or a salesperson from a competitor to be talking in the middle of your office, and your website property is basically the same thing.
Right, exactly. And then Vimeo. Vimeo is basically a portfolio site. It's a creative portfolio site. It's where people who make videos put their videos up as samples. It's not really a discovery engine. It doesn't have very many features and tools that a marketer might want to use. It's not terrible. It doesn't have the same disadvantages that YouTube has, for example, but you are still slowing down your website because you have to reference another, you know, it's JavaScript. So for those who aren't super tech savvy with code, it means that it basically has to load from the other website too, which, and they do that all one at a time. So every piece of JavaScript slows down your web page. So,
and for people who don't know, and pardon me for jumping in, site speed is one of the maybe the three most important pillars in search discovery today, and probably will as we're all going mobile for the foreseeable future. Agree?
Well, I agree that it's really important for search, but it's even more important for conversions.
Okay.
So if you want people to stick around on your website and thumb around and eventually join your list and those sorts of things, site speed is critical. So Vimeo's not so bad, but it's not so great either. It's very vanilla. We usually recommend if a client's not going to be creating a social media strategy around video and they're going to be committed to video on an ongoing basis, which would be a YouTube situation, then we recommend usually Wistia because it is a it's designed for marketing and SEO. It's designed specifically with lead generation in mind. And Wistia is a relatively affordable, it's actually probably the most affordable third-party video player. And it gives you all sorts of goodies. So things like the ability to create a turnstile. So, you know, you could watch the first 30 seconds, but after the 30 seconds, if you want to keep watching the video, then you have to enter your email, right? So it has lead generation capabilities. You can upload a video and then change it later and then re-upload it. So you could actually run A/B tests or split tests on your video using Wistia.
Which is just brilliant.
Right. And it's I mean, if you're trying to increase conversions on your website, you have to do that. Video, like any other content, you know, you come into it with your best guess, with a strong strategy, and then you run tests. You find out where are you losing audience? What are different types of messages you could communicate to try to get additional conversions? And then you make those changes. You can't do that with YouTube or Vimeo because what happens is it starts the video over from scratch. So if anyone's ever shared the video or embedded the video on their website, all of those links and video players break. With Wistia, the code, it does not include the entire video. So it references the video. So you can upload the video to Wistia as many times as you want, change it as many times as you want, and it will never break those links. It will never break those embed codes. So that's pretty valuable. But here's really the magic with Wistia is the ability to get lead level data. So if you have a sales organization and you're choosing who to follow up with and when, you absolutely should be using Wistia in conjunction with a audience tracking tool like HubSpot or Marketo or Eloqua, something along those lines. And Pardot would work too. And what that does when you put Wistia in combination with one of those tracking tools is it allows you to determine which specific leads, which contacts in your database are viewing your videos, how long they're viewing your videos, if they're sharing your videos, how many times they've watched the same video, if they've rewound the video to watch a certain part again. And it will allow you to score your leads on that basis. It will allow you to determine, you know, what types of things that your prospects are interested in.
You can even establish a trigger, an alert. So if somebody watches over a certain percentage of the video, like let's say 80%, it could notify your sales rep that that lead is displaying interest of a high level and would need a follow-up call.
Right. And that one, it depends a little bit on the tool you're using. I know that in HubSpot, for example, you have to have the premium tier of the HubSpot package in order for that to work. But you, even if you don't have that sort of trigger-based functionality, your sales reps can still always go in on one of the lower tier packages. And you could look at a specific contact. Say I'm looking at the Todd Hartley contact in my database. I could see all the videos you viewed. I may not get a trigger in one of those lower packages, but I can see it when I'm about to pick up the phone and call you and, you know, see where you're at in the buying process. But I know that you just watched our pricing page video. And that tells me a whole lot about how close you are to the sale, which is that now you're deciding, you're no longer in the awareness or consideration phase. You're in the decision phase. You're looking at pricing. You're deciding if, are you the right product for me? And so that tells me a lot, and I can approach that that conversation with more confidence, and I can be more targeted in my communication.
All right. So I think the big picture here is when you start with strategy, you have a significantly better opportunity of helping a company amplify their goals, whatever that might be, because there's a big variety of tools and they all have their benefits and they all have their weaknesses. And by doing a deep dive examination, you have a significantly higher chance of success.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you could have your grandma pay your taxes, but should you have your grandma pay your taxes? You should probably go to an accountant who's a professional who knows what they're doing, and making sure that you have someone who's capable of understanding all of the ins and outs of the industry to walk you through some of these complexities. You know, it's a complex maze of information, and it's extremely valuable having someone to, you know, lead you down the right path so that you can be successful more quickly. I mean, ultimately, if you're committed to video, you can get there, but you can get there much faster if you are following best practices and you have someone leading you down the right path.
Well, he's Marcus Krieg. He's Wirebuzz's director of strategy. I think the reason he is obvious. The information, very, very helpful for sales or marketing teams on how you amplify your goals. Marcus, thank you for finding time to help break down the reason companies need to start with strategy before they go into video.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
So the big takeaways from this interview with Marcus Krieg really are, what do marketers often struggle with when they're planning out their video marketing campaign? And it always boils down to strategy, right? You have to know what goal you're trying to hit. And the way that you do that for clients is you identify what that client's goals are, what they're working for now, and you understand their full sales funnel. You also want to identify the gaps, which are, what are the frequently asked common objections that their prospects hit them up with? You have to understand them. You have to have an awareness stage of driving target customers into the funnel, and you have to know strategically how that happens and where video gets used. And then you also want to find time with the client's very best salesperson, understand their pitch, dig into it, and then pull away the most valuable pieces that can be built into the video script and baked into that strategy. The other thing that Marcus did a great job on was detailing out YouTube versus other platforms, video players, really. And in a nutshell, YouTube is great for search and audience discovery. You should never use it on your website. Use a third-party player like Wistia, which is one that we recommend all the time for posting on your website. It's great for lead generation. And we also use Wistia to help support a sales team by creating triggers and information about an individual lead, how much they watched of a video. So for example, if somebody watches 80% of a video and they're a prospect, that prospect is indicating a level of interest, and your sales rep should know that. So with Wistia, you could set up a trigger to have the sales rep notified anytime somebody watches over, let's say, 80% of a video, so they can do an immediate follow-up call and help educate and then convert that prospect. If this podcast was valuable to you, please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And you can subscribe at iTunes or even leave a review there. That would be helpful. And I will continue to bring you the best minds in sales and marketing and how they're using the power of video to amplify their results.